for Bible study. Can you believe it? Is this the second time you've been here for Bible study? Third. I'm just seeing if you was keeping up. I was too, but I thought, you know. Okay, well, you're three times smarter than you ever would have been. Not really. And Sister Ann, there's Sister Ann back there. Look there. Praise God. We're glad you're here. I want all the sisters that came yesterday and worked and all the men, I really appreciate the fact that you men have given up all these Saturday mornings and half days and yesterday run into the night for some of us. But it's coming together. We're getting closer. I've got brother. We started talking about trying to strip the foyer floor. It's been such a problem since we installed that linoleum, or I don't know exactly what you call it, up there. It just keeps looking worse and gets scarred up so bad. So it just hit me the other day to get Brother Calderon, he's a tile man, to get him over here and put tile in the foyer. So I called him and he said, I'm ready. And so I called, so I checked the airline tickets and there wasn't any more expensive to bring him today. He'll be here this evening at 8:30. Wasn't any more expensive to get him here today than it would have been next week. There's some really good deals on flights. So I just bought him a ticket, told him, come on, we've got a job for you to do. And I'm keeping him here for a week after the meeting in case we can't get the bathrooms done, or at least the men's restroom. Somebody told me we didn't do the ladies' restroom, but that the men's we definitely need to do. Take that up with Brother Boyd if you have any issues with it. All right. I told him, okay, that's all we're going to do, but I'm going to put it off on you so that I don't get in trouble. All right, do we have any Bible questions this morning? Well, I turn my phone down to vibrate. Okay.
Thank you. See if I can find it. Said that when Cain killed, who'd he kill? Abel?
Abel, yeah.
God put a mark on him?
Mm-hmm.
And then he said that there's another scripture. Somebody can get it for me. For some reason, I'm overlooking it. It said if Cain be rewarded seven times for his sin, then Lamech shall be rewarded 70 times seven for his. Is there a possibility that that Lamech slew Cain? Thank you, Brother Fisher. Yeah, 23 says, and Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech. Hearken to my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding and a young man to my hurt. if Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. And Adam knew his wife, and again she bare a son, Seth. Is there a possibility that he slew Cain?
Let's go back in Genesis 4. Just so that the class will have the backdrop on it, background. I'm sure most of you are aware that Abel offered. Let's just start in the fourth verse, and we'll maybe skip around some. It said, Adam knew, in the first verse, Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain. And said, I've gotten a man from the Lord, and she again bare his brother Abel. Some people think that Cain and Abel were twins because of that she conceived once and bare two children. There's no further proof in that other than just that right there, that she bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I'll be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And she builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. And he said unto Enoch was born Irid. He said, I don't know if it's Irid or Irid. And Irid begat Mahujael, and Mahujael begot Methusael, and Methusael Lamech. And Lamech took unto him two wives, and the name of the one was Ada, and the name of the other Zillah. And Ada bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in the tents, and such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp or organ. And Zillah, she bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. And Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, Hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. Okay, Lamech here, Cain, bare his wife, bare him Enoch, and so Lamech was his great grandson. Am I right about that? Or great great? Cain knew his wife. She conceived Enoch. That's his son. Enoch, Irad, or Irad, beget Mahujael. So Irad was his grandson. Mahujael, he's a great 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 grandson, isn't he? So, and then he. And of course, it doesn't give us the ages or how long they lived of the unrighteous line. It just gives us the righteous line in the fifth chapter. But it does give the story of Lamech, the fact that he killed somebody. It doesn't tell us who he killed. Is there any further reference of that? I just have to, sure not in my mind. He was a son of Methusael, but Methuselah is the son of Enoch? Methuselah. Enoch walked with God and was not God took him. He was the father then of Methuselah. This Enoch, who was a son of Jared, and Enoch was a son of Cain, this Enoch. So it had to be a different Enoch. And a Methusael, it's not part of the righteous line. That's one of the things you run into in the Old Testament, so many names alike. Well, evidently he's evidently saying who, according to him, if Cain would be avenged 70 or sevenfold, it sounds like to me he's trying to put out a fear that if God's going to avenge Cain sevenfold, then he'll avenge me 70 and sevenfold. It seems to me like that he's trying to, and it almost sounds like that he, and which here we're, I don't think we can do any more than consider what this means, since it doesn't give us any clarity on it. But it almost sounds like that he's saying, I'm more righteous than Cain was in what I done, so I should be avenged in a greater way. At least that would be some of what you would think a man was thinking when he projected something like that. or, like you're saying, that it could mean that if he killed Cain, God's vengeance is going to be on him seven times, then, you know, whoever kills me that killed Cain would be avenged, that God would need to avenge me more. You know, but that's really all we've got. I guess, in my opinion, probably the answer is it's possible. We just don't have any clarity to know. That's why I was trying to see if where he made that statement, the 24th verse. I do think, hey, Sister Bryant made it. What do y'all know about that? Praise God. We sure been praying for you. We sure glad to see you make it. But, by the way, Brother Dahl's wife had surgery this week on her back. He's not going to make our meeting because of it. She's going to be in the hospital. She's been in the hospital. I think she had surgery Wednesday, but I'm not exactly positive the day. But she's going to be in the hospital a total of a week, and then they want her to be in rehab for 2 weeks. So he just said he didn't feel like he could leave her. She's going to be really needing a lot of assistance. She's really in a lot of severe pain, but she's been in such pain she's not even been able to set up over maybe 15 or 20 minutes. Is it set up or lay down? It's one or the other. I think she has to lay down, pretty well stay down. If she gets up, she can only stay up a little while, and her back just starts hurting her so bad she has to lay back down. So they finally did the surgery on her that they felt like would alleviate her of this problem, but it's going to be quite a recovery, they're thinking. So anyway, we need to pray for her and keep them in her prayers. Uh-huh.
Bible study notes.
Mm-hmm.
And it says that, let me just read it here real quick. It says, it says Lamech is claiming not a life for a life, but a life for a blow, and is even claiming divine sanction for his attitude. And the account of Cain's descendants breaks off here, because Lamech is a sufficient. Because of this, it's sufficient explanation for their disappearance. So it's kind of insinuating that he killed Cain's descendants, which is interesting. Which, you know, it does say that he slew a young man, which Cain would have been far older than him.
Here's what the Net Bible with full notes says on it. It says Lamech seems to reason this way: if Cain, a murderer, is to be avenged seven times, then how much more one who had been unjustly wronged? How much more would one who'd been unjustly wronged? Lamech misses the point of God's merciful treatment of Cain. God was not establishing a principle of justice when he warned he would avenge Cain's murder. In fact, he was trying to limit the shedding of blood, something Lamech wants to multiply. Instead, the use of 77, a multiple of 7, is hyperbolic, emphasizing the extreme severity of vengeance envisioned by Lamech. In other words, he's picking up that if God would avenge Cain, who unjustly murdered someone sevenfold, if someone's, you know, was to try to get man's vengeance on him, then, you know, how much more? He's saying Lamech's looking at it like, I was unjustly wronged and I slew a man because of it. I was done wrong. My actions was in retaliation for wrong that I've done. Therefore, I should be avenged in a greater way if somebody comes against me on that. That's their take on it. Yeah, we've always, you know, taught that the number seven is a perfect number or complete. It really three is a number of completion. Seven's a number of perfection. But it's the total sum of a matter ends a matter, and so you know he is using multiples of seven, which seems they did. I don't know. Let me see if there's any further reference. I'm trying to think in my mind if there's any further reference of Lamech or you know what he said here. Now, there's more references. Who was it? When Jesus did he tell Peter or was it his brother that he said, you know, that if someone asks you to forgive them, I'm telling you, you don't just forgive them seven times, but seven times 70. Isn't that what he? How did he say that? 70 times 7, yeah, which would be 70 times. So evidently they used that terminology or that phraseology concerning there ain't no end to where, you know, that forgiveness would be, or in Lamech's case, judgment would be. And you might be able to find, you know, I'll be honest with you, I don't know that I've heard anybody talk on that, and I know I haven't, as far as, you know, carrying out the thought of perfect judgment or perfect forgiveness, you know, that what the actual purpose of the use of, you know, multiples of seven is, other than what we've said about it being the finality of, or the end of the matter. I don't know of another place that refers to what Lamech did. What? Different Lamech. Elias, get in.
And the parabola, la parabola,
parable.
Parable. Matthew chapter 18, verse 23 to verse 35. In those parable, Jesus gave application.
He's saying that Jesus may have gave application to this. Matthew 18, 23, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king which would take account of his servants. When he began to reckon, one was brought unto him. This is right below, this is right after where Jesus said you're to forgive 70 times 7. Therefore, he says, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king which would take account of his servants. When he began to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I'll pay thee all. The Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found out of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, which, you know, the difference in money here would be enormous. So much, just a very small amount of what he owed, his servant owed him. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I'll pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Should not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And the Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto thee, if thou from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother, their trespasses. The scripture here where he said he fell down and worshiped, gave him worship, where does it say that? I'm wanting that word, worship. Mm-hmm.
Is there always a measure of fear?
Reference or worship, huh?
Is there always a measure of fear and honor? In other words, you can't honor somebody properly unless you honor everybody's power.
In a sense, I would say, you know, of course, if you take, like, the scripture comes to my mind, perfect love cast out fear. But I think if you're, you know, if we're talking about the fear of God or a godly fear, which is a reverence, I don't think there's such a thing as having proper honor without reverence for position, authority. I don't know that. You know, I think we all will come to a place where we're not afraid of God if we know that we're just before Him. You know, that I don't think we are afraid that He would do anything wrong. Our fear, natural fear, from a natural standpoint, I think is a fear that somebody's going to do me wrong. It's kind of like I was talking to my wife this morning. I've got some feelings about our meeting coming up. And I've talked to only just maybe two or three brothers, leading ministers, a little bit about some of what I'm feeling. But I told her, I said, I have a little bit of fear that, you know, though some of the brothers I've talked to is on the opposite side of where I'm at, on a particular subject that I intend to present. I said, I'm a little bit fearful of them, you know, gathering together all of their supporters and studying up on this subject. I said, I'm not in for winning a side. I'm not interested in my side winning or the other side losing or vice versa. I'm interested in us coming closer together on the subject of our understanding of the subject, and let God help us to determine if we need to move our position. I see it's a problem. We've got several problems, you know, in unity of the faith, and we need to work on it. But in the past, you know, and I think it's human nature. In the past, we have had problems with, you know, it's just human nature. You can't hardly help but take sides If you believe something strongly, then you're going to talk to people that believes it like you do, and you're going to work with them and talk to them and strengthen your position. Then the same thing's happening on people who are holding the other side, the other position on a subject. And, you know, and if you just working to strengthen your side of the subject, you're probably never going to move or make any adjustments. And I'm not sure God can work with that attitude. I mean, because it's, you know, Brother Watson used to tell us, you know, he drove a point home. Bless his heart, his health's failing so much now, he's just about, his days are numbered, you know, when he's not able to go to meetings anymore. He's really suffering. But he's up in his 80s, so he's had a good life. But he used to ask us questions. He'd say, "How many of y'all in here are wrong?" You know, and nobody, he said, "See, you all think you're right. I mean, if you thought you was wrong, you'd change, wouldn't you?" So, obviously, you think you're right, or yeah, at least you may not have a position because you don't know what you believe on something. But if you know what you believe, you think you're right. My wife was telling me, you know, Brother Elias and Sister Yolanda is staying with us, so we're getting to, I know Brother Elias pretty good, but we're getting to know him better. And of course, my wife's getting to know him better. She said, "He's more like you than Brother Green," because she said he, you know, he stays focused on whatever he's focused on. Right now he's focused on learning English. He eats, sleeps, drinks it. You know, he ain't going to quit that till he gets it solved. And she said, "That's how you do. You just get on something, you just stay on it, and you're everything else you just shut out just about. And then you get off of that onto something else. You don't ever play. You don't ever," he said, you know, she said, "Brother Green, he likes to play some." Well, Elias is going to have to, he's going to have to work on that. That's his temperament. He'll have to work on it like I've had to work on it. Because you can be so intense about what you believe and what you think that you never open your mind to consider that you may need to make some adjustments. You know, you can get to thinking, you see things so, you know, in other words, you're so strong in your position that it's hard for you to consider. I've had to work on that in my life. I've had to really work on considering my brothers and considering that everybody doesn't look at things like I do, and that I've got to have a better balance to even where I could even have a voice among anybody that doesn't have a temperament like me. And so it's, you know, it's something we just have to do. We have to, I'm working on this this word perfection. You know, to come to a place of full maturity, to really fully mature, that we have the proper judgment, we have the proper, you know, there's so many ways of man's manipulation. Fear's one of them. Brother Pryor's mentioned it. We can manipulate people with fear. If you got authority, you got power, you can put the fear of God in people. You can use your authority to win your case, win your position, but you may not be winning. In fact, you may be losing salt all the time. You can do a lot of things, you know, in manipulation to learn how to grow and develop in true leadership. And we're all called to be leaders. That's just all there is to it. I mean, if you're called to be in the bride, you're called to be a leader. You're called to be a ruler. You're going to have a hard time ruling people that you don't have the proper consideration for. In fact, you're not going to be a ruler if you don't learn how to have the proper consideration for people and have the right love and patience. And that's just, you know, I mean, it's easy to talk about, but it sure isn't easy to get it digested and become a part of you. I know that's important. You know, I'd like to have everybody in this room love me. But some of you have problems with me, I'm sure. You know, and I don't blame you because I got problems. Some of you, you know, even if you know you may see some of my faults, and that may bother you, and then sometimes you may be having a problem with an area that I'm not really having a fault with. You just having trouble with the position, or you know, the actions, or you know. So we all have to, you know, we all have to learn that. I'm having to learn how to work with. If we're not careful, we can, you know, we're a people that believes in perfection. We believe in total maturity in God. You start out with God as a baby, but you to end up with God as a full grown, in the fullness of the stature of Christ Jesus. Now that takes faith to believe that, don't it? It takes faith to believe that you can be like Jesus, that you can mature to a place where you act like Him, you understand what He understood, you think like Him, you've got the mind of the Father. It takes faith to believe you can accomplish that. In fact, it almost requires more faith than most of us can really muster. I don't know how. You know, do you really believe that? Do you really believe that you can be like Jesus? Well, I can only believe it because I believe what the Scripture says. But I'm not persuaded because of my accomplishments. I can tell you I'm not the same man I used to be, but I'm certainly not like Jesus yet. And there's so many people not even trying. They don't even try. They're not even putting forth an effort. Brother Brown, there was a man one time in the Houston church, told him, said, "You're crazy if you think you can be perfect." He said, What do y'all think perfect is? He said, Brother Brown told him, he said, "Well, I think you're going to have to quit sinning." He said, "That's impossible." He said, "Well, do you think you could do it for a day? One day? Could you live without sinning one day?" The guy said, "Well, I might could do it for a day." He said, "Well, how about 2 days?" He kept moving him up, trying to see, how far will you go with this? You at least believe in perfection for a day. Of course, I believe that I think perfection's greater than stop sinning. I think Adam had the power to live above sin, and he did not sin. I think Jesus didn't sin. He never did commit a sin, but he wasn't perfect until he finally finished. God finished the work of overcoming his Adamic nature and being perfected in the nature of God the Father. Yeah, his willingness to give up his basically boils down to his own will, his own his own desires. Your desires have to finally become God's desires. We're all afraid of that. Every one of us are afraid of God's desires. You're afraid God's going to ask you to do something that you can't or don't want to do. Might be marrying a man's that you're on this. I'm sorry. We need to quit picking on her. She asked me one time. She said, "Look, do you think I need to get married or not?" I said, "Well, it seems like you're doing all right. But get back to my real point here. It's, you know, it, we do, I think we do fear, you know, fully dedicating to God that we're going to have to give up something. But I can tell you this, that I've never gave up anything that I want to go back to after God helped me to achieve it. You know, I don't want to go back to doing anything God asked me to give up. It was for my good, and I like it. I'm glad I got rid of it. But everybody starts out being afraid that God's going to require them to give up something that they don't want to give up. He's not going to ask you to do that for him just because he likes it that way. He's going to ask you to do that because he knows what's best for you, and he knows you need to give up the works of the flesh and the things that you think you love, but he'll adjust your mentality and your position of what you love, what you think you love, and what's genuine to love are two different things. And God wants you to love. He wants you to have a genuine love for righteousness. And he'll lead and guide you into all the ways of righteousness if you'll let him. But it's, you know, it's hard to die out to the flesh. I'll admit it. It's not easy, you know. Oh, I don't know what you're enjoying today, but if God asked you to give it up, would you be willing to give it up? Maybe that'll get you a little closer to thinking about what I'm saying. He may not. He probably, he's more gentle than that. I can tell you that. But unless, you know, God's dealt with you about it, and you keep, you know, I've watched this. I've watched God deal with people, and they'll try to come up with God what God's asking of them, and then they step back. You know, they just can't do it. And I've seen some people do that so many times that God gets stronger. He gets stronger, and if they get stronger in pulling back away from God, God finally will take his hand off of them. Just leave him alone. He can't, you know, he's just not going to dig around a tree that'll never bring forth any fruit. And you can watch that in people's lives. You can watch people that will get in this and they'll get so far and they pull back. And they go through that for long enough that then you start seeing them regressing and really going backward. And you can tell the Lord's took his hand off of them. He's not purging them anymore. He's not dealing with them anymore. All right, we're out of time. We didn't get too far on Brother Pryor's subject, but it's probably all I've got to offer on it, Brother Pryor. I'm sorry. But maybe the Lord will. But it's a good thought. I mean, I don't know how we could say Lamech didn't kill Cain. It doesn't tell who did or how he died. But anyway, it's a good point on the 70 times 7, that how man looked at how they should be avenged or how they should, you know, either in judgment or forgiveness, either way. All right, let's take a break. We'll see you upstairs. By the way, I mentioned, I think, didn't I, yeah, that Brother Calderon's coming to tile the foyer. The tile that's out there is the tile we're going to use, and there's going to be a border around the square part of the foyer with that bead of, I don't know what you call it.